just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing how you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Have yeah,
to
absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no, no.
Well, how about that? Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the internet. I am your host, Andy Cowan, and this is Oh Really Radio, show 85 for Friday, December 4th, 2015, where we dismantle current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that make you go, oh really. I'm your host, Andy Cowan, as I already introduced myself because I'm that flustered because we were doing so much troubleshooting that I'm just sick and tired of it, and we're just going to do it, and we're going to wing it, and we're going to fly casual through this whole thing. But I do at least have one of my usual suspects, Ophelia Falls. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Yes, we may have others join us, possibly, if their stuff can get put together in a timely fashion, such as it is. So here we go. Okay, let's see. I don't have any errata from last week, but we do make mistakes, so if you find one, please pause the podcast and go ahead and send us an email at orreallyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Or you can phone it in at 470-222-6759. I don't know where the voice came from, but I'll put it away now.
Okay. I mean, this is our unstructured show. You do whatever the fuck you need to.
Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, something along those lines. I'm going to get far too silly. Maybe I've had enough. No, I haven't had enough coffee. I need more coffee. Out of coffee. Damn it. Okay. Well, let's see. I have a couple things for headlines and a lot of things that I didn't actually end up putting in any sort of order or coherentness. The main thing that I wanted to mention was that, Defense Secretary Ashton B. Carter said on Thursday that the Pentagon would open up all combat jobs to women. There is an autoplay video that I'm going to go ahead and start, and really, well, he says it all. 3, 2, 1.
I'm announcing my decision not to make continued exceptions. That is, to proceed with opening all these remaining occupations and positions to women. There will be no exceptions. This means that as long as they qualify and meet the standards, women will now be able to contribute to our mission in ways they could not before. They'll be allowed to drive tanks, fire mortars, and lead infantry soldiers into combat. They'll be able to serve as Army Rangers and Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Marine Corps infantry, Air Force parajumpers, and everything else that was previously open only to men. And even more importantly, our military will be better able to harness the skills and perspectives that talented women have to offer.
Advisor, wouldn't it be important for him to be here and to send a message?
While the Marine Corps asked for a partial exception in some areas such as infantry, machine gunner, fire support, reconnaissance, and others, we are a joint force. And I have decided to make a decision which applies to the entire force. I'm directing all the military services to proceed to open all military occupational specialties to women 30 days from today. That is, after a 30-day waiting period required by law, and to provide their updated implementation plans for integrating women into these positions by that date.
So that's going to cause an awful lot of people to shit their pants.
Like, I'm at two minds about it, because like on the one hand, like I'm well, the more all this shit keeps going on in the world, the more I'm like, do we need more military anything right now? But at the same time, like, if you're going to sign up to defend our country or other countries and you want to kill people, your genitals do not matter. If you want to save people, your genitals should not matter.
I think that women should be able to be space marines. Is that wrong? I think they should be able to kill alien bugs all day long.
Well, like, I feel like if you can be trusted to go out into space.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, the traveling from oh, I'm in the Air Force, to, oh, I'm in the stratosphere, oh, I'm in orbit,
yeah.
oh, I'm near the moon. If you can be trusted with that amount of very sensitive equipment, you can drive a tank.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, the Marines are historically a 95% male-dominated organization. That, you know, even through basic, they still have separate quarters. You know, the separate but equal thing, that kind of thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. that segregation still exists. But this will, this is going to remove those barriers. And, of course, they were the ones that were like, no, we don't want that. Not at all. Can we please have a, can we have a special here? Please, please. No. The answer is no. You can't.
It's just any time that you have a boys club of anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well. And what they need to think about, like what they genuinely need to consider is how crappy the Marines are received by people. Like Marines have a reputation of being, you know, dumb meathead jocks. And you'll hear that everywhere. You'll hear that in pop stuff. You'll hear that from you know, other people in the service. You'll hear that from other former Marines. Yeah. And
jarhead, meathead, yeah, all those things. They're terms of endearment now somehow.
And, you know, having women in there is going to do better for their reception once they get their heads out of their asses. So
yeah. It's going to be painful for those that actually want to go through it in the early days. And I have a cat. Oh, my God. Ow. Hello.
That is definitely a cat attack. Oh, you have been attacked.
I have. I now have a shoulder cat. Sprocket did not give me any warning or chance to. Nope. I was caught flat footed and I now have a cat on my shoulder. I tried to remove him and he put in the pointies and that was that.
Well.
You're not
he could at least face the damn camera.
He's not even going to dignify me with a response. No, he's looking over my shoulder like, bitch, you are mine.
In case you forgot that you were doing things, cat.
Yeah, no, it's just, nope, looking away. Nope. I'm not going to pay any attention to you. Oh, wait. Okay. Yeah, now you have to rub my face. Okay, yeah.
Anybody who doesn't have video of this is missing the cute kitty kisses,
yeah, but
I pity them.
Yes, by the way, we do have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/ORLYRADIO. And you can get all of our back catalog, except for like the first five episodes, right there and see all of our lovely faces and the occasional cat face and cat butt and cat tail moving across the webcams. Fun stuff. And occasionally we'll do screen shares and things like that when something permits.
Then you get to see the cards that I talk about so
that's
often.
Right. She
I've
has
got
a whole...
quite a little deck. Look at how many there are now.
Yeah.
Those who can see. I've got so many.
I would say that there are cards for humanity instead of against.
Cards against inhumanity.
Cards against inhumanity, which would be cards for humanity.
Yeah, but it's more fun to say against inhumanity. Also because I may not be for most humanity, but I'm against most inhumanity.
Is that like that there was a direction in some instructions to build something that I found, which was turn the knobs anti-counterclockwise. And so you're paid by the letter, aren't you? You must be paid by the letter in order to anti-counterclockwise. That would be clockwise.
As it may sound, there's a Marilyn Manson quote that I find very insightful, and it's very indicative of how I believe, how I take in the universe, and it's, I fall in love with everything, and I hate everything. It's very hard to be a romantic and a misanthrope at the same time.
I think that there needs to be a new word for that. I don't know what it's going to be. A romanthrope?
I'll take romanthrope.
Romanthrope for the win. Okay, there you go.
We'll take a romanthrope.
Speaking of things that are not romanthropes, Ted Nugent apparently has come out and saying that we need to cleanse the country of liberal subhuman freaks. Thanks.
Says the guy who adopted a chick to be his legal daughter to bang her.
Wait, not funny. That's not funny at all. No, that's wrong. That would be somewhere about being a subhuman freak, I think.
I constantly forget that he's not like some kind of boogeyman.
He's
like that he's an actual person who talks.
Yeah. Now, there's a friend of mine and friend of the show. He's been on the show before. And he posted a note that really kind of got my attention, but I don't know what to do about it yet. And he's asking for input, which is difficult. But he's saying that we need a Fox News vaccine. he says the path back from arch conservatism. We have witnessed in gradual order the destruction of many minds we have known. We are currently reaping the whirlwind of what Fox News, the Kochs, the Heritage Foundation, and hardcore conservative talk radio have sown. We have watched the minds of our friends and family become twisted, tainted, and ultimately corrupted by being fed lies taken on faith and preconception. We have witnessed the calcification of cognitive dissonance grip these people when presented with reality in opposition to their radical ideology, and it affects them not. The nature of the current shade of conservatism is no longer the preening elitist intellectualism of William F. Buckley Jr., asserting difference of opinion predicated on interpretation of fact. It is no longer the historically honest conservatism of Barry Goldwater. It is not even the considered efficiency-seeking conservatism of Bob Dole, Bush Sr., or John McCain. No, we have, thanks to the efforts of an echo chamber apparatus of the extreme right wing and the selective removal of all sources contrary to the gut emotional instincts immediately agreed to, come at last to the culmination of a people rendered immune to truth. The present breed of conservatism is predicated on a premise of trolling. Death is good, war is great, peace is awful, mayhem, disaster, Lord of the Flies savagery, drenched in the most primitive fear-based impulses. Delight in the emotional horror of the liberal left at the body count, the rote violence, and the eschewing of the fact and science. It has become a snide celebration of contrarian spite. Envision the worst position you could take on an issue, the one most offensive and demeaning to those not specifically you or directly benefiting you. Now defend it with blind faith and the firm resolution of the doubtless and mad. Couple that with the glee of a sibling watching another sibling punished for their own crime. This was not always so. Fox News isn't alone in what it did to these people. There's a pattern and a blueprint to the step-by-step cult-like brainwashing that has taken place that exclaims all sources, not specifically ours, are lying to you. The path of radicalization of their thoughts has been studied and reviewed, the demographics and susceptibility of certain members of our society examined. I am an optimist, though. Sure, he sure doesn't sound like an optimist, does he? I mean, he's painting a really grim and unfortunately very truthful picture of what I have witnessed in my own family. Thankfully, they're starting to come around because of people like Donald Trump being so on the opposite side of reality. Yeah, yeah, that look and the head bob that you just did, yeah, that was completely accurate. So, as he says, here's the thing, and this is what I need help with. Okay. We know that there are ways back. We know that a shortcut to deprogramming is personal impact, something that happens to them that affects someone they love. He has sourced links to all these, too. It's like, yes, we know this, we know this, we know this, and this is why we know this. So he's not coming at this blind. Or if something happens to themselves, we know that the path back exists if the group decides you are no longer one of them. If we know that there exists a path to get the minds of individuals to where they are, and we have witnessed transition back through circumstantial and event-related shortcuts, then we can conclude a means must exist to deprogram the paranoid, fear-based, fact-free ideology that has been instilled in a host of our fellow citizens. If we can reverse engineer potential courses of thought, posit talking points, lines of communication, and action, we can begin to vaccinate individuals against Fox News and the rest of the rabid right-wing sphere of self-affirming news as entertainment. It is theoretically possible to develop a psychological profile and blueprint to place the people we love, our friends, family, neighbors, and even random strangers who we meet who espouse the litany of hate that currently serves as conservative groupthink, back on a path of reality. But where does one start? Appeal to authority? Personal relations? Anecdotes? Religion? Countering evidence? Reverse or aversion psychology? I'm thinking maybe electroshock treatment. I don't know. That might be something. I don't think that's going to work, though. Like many of you, I've debated on the issue raging, ranging. I'm now getting ragey. That's the problem here. Ranging. From women's rights to gun relations with the brainwashed right, their rationale for support and the responses follow patterns of utmost predictability. After debating enough of them, you could, in essence, conduct a debate entirely by yourself, using the point-by-point set of bumper sticker-style talking points from each individual issue that they rely upon to formulate the basis of their ideology. This demonstrates beyond the shadow of a doubt that a pattern exists in how they reached their current mental state. In each case, a final stage is reached, which devolves into pure emotional response, a negative, volatile reaction that opens into faith-based assertions at its penultimate point prior to hurling invective. Can this course be averted? Can the sequence of discussion events not be dissembled, backtracked, or preempted? Are there means verbal, mimetic, or actionable to psychologically compel recognition of the fault of this eventuality? And then he tagged multiple people, including myself, to see whether or not to brainstorm a blueprint back. But how? How to do it? So he says, thankfully, he says, open source here. Feel free to share independently, collect others' thoughts, and tag them if you want. Grab the idea outright and run with it if you are so moved. Perhaps we can crowdsource an effort to find a cure. A cure to radical conservatism? Is that safe to say?
I would say extreme. Radical makes it sound like they're accomplishing things. They are group defined by their relative inaction.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. In fact, not relative, but their efforts to remain ineffective.
Well, because, you know, when they do things, they're heinous, but the thing that they are known for is not the heinous things that they do,
no,
but all of the many good things they opt not to do. That is the difference. They do heinous things. When they do something, it's bad.
Yeah.
But they do so little in general that is their defining thing. Not that their goals are bad, because that is a given, especially if you have grown up, you know, in a marginalized section of society, you know, that conservatism in general,
well,
is bad in a cultural context.
Well, hang on. Let me bring that back for a second, because you don't reach the ideology thinking that you're a bad person doing something evil, because we are all the heroes of our own narrative.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying is, from the outside looking in.
Okay.
If you've always been on the outside, you know that even before they went off the deep end, they were not just. A good villain always thinks they are.
Yeah.
But to moderates, to liberals, which is everyone else,
henchmen will willingly attack the good guy in the narrative because they think that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. So for moderates, for liberals, for anybody who isn't part of this hard right, we've all already known that they were the villains in the global story. They are the heroes of their own rhetoric, mm-hmm. as we all are. But the rest of the world can see that. The issue is they're not actually saying anything they've never said before. They are just refusing to let anything else happen. Mm. Because, as Michael has said before, you know, it's so immature the way they do things. Well, if I can't have it my way, no one has it.
Yeah,
they don't compromise. They don't do things. That is something else. But it is that inaction that defines them. And someone who will not work toward a goal, good or bad, is incredibly difficult to weed out. The issue comes in the best way to get rid of them is to stoop to their level and wash them out on a base way. And I had a conversation recently with a friend. Why don't evil people get assassinated?
Why don't evil people get assassinated? That's an interesting question. I don't think that's a valid question either.
But. What we came up with is because they're evil. The bad guys are on their side.
But evil people do get assassinated.
The people who are in the people who are inclined to kill someone mm-hmm. that goes against their ideals are on the sides of the bad guys. They're not on the sides of the Bobby Kennedys. It is when we think of people who are properly assassinated and not taken down in a coup d'etat.
Well,
or whatever. Well,
you mean by the lone gunman, not controlled by a CIA kind of operation.
Yeah, you know, not when it comes down to, you know, somebody has, you know, they have to right a wrong. The people who would right that wrong with eradicating someone are already on the side of the people who are the problem. Hmm. Nobody.
Well,
I
was listening it just in that same vein. I was listening to another podcast today, and it's a philosopher podcast. It's called Very Bad Wizards. So you've got some analytical philosophy and psychological counterparts there. And the problem of evil and things like the trolley experiment, the trolley problem. You know, where, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you know that if you kill this one guy on the rail, you'll save five people down there, but will you be able to actually throw the lever kind of thing? But they took it a step further and went immediately to Godwin's law and says, always kill baby Hitler.
Well, that's the thing.
When you're given the option, if you have to go back in time, always kill baby Hitler because you never know.
Well, that's the thing is the people who were inclined to do that are never the good guys.
Yeah, that is the problem.
It's one of those things, you know. I would probably throw a party if Donald Trump was killed tonight. Nobody I know who has access to weapons is going to kill Donald Trump tonight because they're not bad guys.
Yeah, that's true.
They've got the limit. The problem is with this mad scientist sort of conservatism is that the people who are inclined to do that, like the San Bernardino shooting, those guys, mm-hmm. you know, that couple, they were inclined to do the wrong thing. The guy who shot up Sandy Hook, inclined to do the wrong thing. If they decided to take out, I don't know, the ISIL, like mm-hmm. they, you know, they wouldn't be these domestic terrorists. They wouldn't do it because they're on the opposite side. And that's what we ended up having this big conversation about, is that people who were inclined to kill someone they don't agree with are never the good guys. So the way to vaccinate, like your friend said, I firmly feel is the way that the civil rights movement in the 60s and 70s went. Make them as impotent as they are trying to make everyone else.
I have a clip that I think is relevant to this. Let's see if I can get a plate.
So, Lone Star, now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
I think that says it all in that narrative, because, yeah, we're not going to kill. That's not the thing that we're going to do. The good people aren't going to stoop to that level. So when you say that the path back may just be to stoop to their level, that's a really hard thing for us to do.
It's flat out not something that good people are inclined to do.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's, at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's individuals when they're bad guys, mm-hmm. or small groups when they're bad guys, are all about shooting up Planned Parenthood or applauding the person who says they will. Because they're bad guys. Now, will anyone ever walk in and shoot up Fox News? No. Should they? Probably. Why won't it happen? Because the good guys are the ones who don't like Fox News. The ones who are not murderers.
Yeah, the ones that are being incited to violence are the Fox News viewers.
Not those of us who have been slighted or alienated or just generally treated horribly by Fox News. We're not going to do it because we're not the kind of people who hurt people. People who hurt people love Fox News.
Mm-hmm. I have real problems with Fox News, but that's not a surprise if you've been paying any attention to this show. Though, just as I would say with Jon Stewart, Fox News is a treasure trove. You know, it would keep somebody like me online and talking forever.
Well, the thing is their absurdity is hilarious.
Yeah.
When you stop and you think about it, it's I've read several studies on like why some people laugh during horror movies.
Oh, gallows humor.
It's the same thing. The mm-hmm. overload of ridiculousness in the negative hits absurdity. It is no longer believable because of how horrible it is.
Yeah, I would laugh at I don't like the really graphical horror stuff, you know, like Saw. You know, that stuff, no appeal to me whatsoever, because it is no longer horror, it is gore. And that's the kind of stuff, if I am forced to watch it, I will just laugh at it. I will find any inconsistency in logic, and I will just go for that.
And then the death scenes are over the top.
Yeah.
They're so over the top with how horrible the situation would be in reality that we can disassociate them from reality. Now, I like gore. I do. But that's also because it doesn't faze me the way it does other people, because I have helped embalm a person before. I don't know. It's life experiences have changed things for me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Scream.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed all the way through my first three viewings of that movie when it was new.
Well, Scream because, is funny. Yeah.
Well, like Scream, like proper, where everyone's like, oh my God, this is so scary, this is so thrilling. To me, the situation was so awful and over the top awful.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the thrill that everyone else did. I was giggling. Because, okay, a butcher, okay, that knife, really? Okay, that's really, you know, when something mm-hmm. becomes such a nightmare that you're seeing it in front of you, it seems like parody even if it isn't. And that's how Fox News is for a lot of people. The issue is everybody else who watches a lot of Fox News takes it as gospel. Which, I mean, brings me to the link I sent you earlier for the show. Geraldo Rivera,
yes.
Who works for Fox News now.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, who are too young or, I don't know, had lives in the 90s.
He opened Al Capone's vault and found nothing.
Geraldo Rivera, he used to be a talk show host. And then he stopped being a talk show host and got real conservative out of nowhere. And now he works for Fox News. And usually he's one of the first people who has to take their head out of their ass.
Yeah, I think he tried to be Barbara Walters too much.
He tried to be the anti-Barbara Walters, and it floundered.
Yeah, tried to be edgy. Edgy Barbara. But
you know, and
I was not going to work.
The San Bernardino shooting, Geraldo Rivera took to Twitter because, surprise, Fox wouldn't put him on air about it. And that's his job. Hmm. And his tweets were, let me see. Let me start at the beginning. Mass shooting in San Bernardino, California at a center for the developmentally disabled. WTF, the Second Amendment is stupid. 3 exclamation points. Don't rationalize. And then 7 minutes later, he tweeted, the NRA is full of shit.
Well, there's somebody that's not going to get on the air for a while.
Oh, no. He was fired from his radio show when he started to talk out his radio show that was sponsored by Fox.
Yeah.
When he started to talk out about defending these people, they canceled it. So his last tweet in the whole shebang was, I'm horrified by the San Bernardino shooting and saddened that I'm unable to guide my audience through this outrageous massacre. Miss me yet? And he had, you know, tagged the radio show that he had been fired from.
Miss me yet?
Miss me yet. Like he has so much to, you know, because he's been doing this for 30 years, whatever.
Yeah.
But
we know who he is, but I wouldn't say that I'm a fan.
Nobody is. Nobody who was a fan back in the day is a fan now, and nobody who knew, who listens to him now wants to hear him since he's changed his tune, since he's learned. But that goes back to that note you read, mm-hmm. that when they decide you're not part of their group anymore, you are left out. You are gone.
Yeah.
You are
immediately ostracized. Yeah.
You are ostracized. And he said something on his show they didn't like. If I remember correctly, it was something else about gun control being inadequate. And they fired him from the show in which it was named after him. they just decided,
did,
you know,
did they get another Geraldo Rivera?
I mean, like, if there's anybody Geraldo Rivera now, like, they're like 17.
Nice. That'd be a perfect plant.
Like,
a nice 17-year-old Geraldo Rivera, super arch conservative talk show host. I think that would be fantastic. That would have an audience.
You know, but another one of my friends, she's a beautiful, perfect person. I just think she's a delight,
mm-hmm.
and she's in the UK. And the UK has started bombing Syria. And she is incensed. And she had posted one of those, like a lot of people do, and I have done. You know, if you're supporting any of these things that I'm against and listed them, we don't need to talk anymore. We don't have anything in common. We cannot discuss things. And I have done that for racism, homophobia, militant pro-lifers, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, she was bombarded with these ignorant people talking to her about how, well, if we still had guns in the UK, we could just shoot them all ourselves. And all kinds of, you know, Fox News-esque rhetoric from people that she's known around the world. And I told her, you know, the only way to get them to stop talking is to stop giving them attention. If everybody who is rational and active takes these people out of the spotlight, takes these people out of their lives, then they become a grumbling minority like white supremacy was until like 3 years ago. Hmm. For lack of a better metaphor, you've got to neuter them. Cut off their balls. They've got nothing to hump at. That's it.
They'll still try. They'll still try.
Yeah, but when the infection sets in, they'll learn better.
oh, damn. Okay. let's change tact here. We've got there is some good things that have popped up in the news. I know we could use some good because, you know, we have people like Donald Trump that we can always go back to for a half. Or Carly Fiorina, or, yeah, anyway, there's plenty. But scientists have, on three continents now have evidence that some chimps have entered the Stone Age and are using stone tools.
I wouldn't call this good news.
It's...
I would call this proof that Planet of the Apes was a prophecy.
Oh, well, you know, there's got to be some replacement for us, I suppose, as we continue on. So there's that one. Researchers find a new phase of carbon to make diamond at room temperature.
Yep.
Called Q-carbon. It's apparently a new phase, distinctly separate from both graphite or standard diamond.
It's the next thing on the tier that shouldn't exist. And every time that science says fuck you to itself, I feel real happy. So this is like a bunch of scientists were dicking around with carbon, of all things. Yeah. Like, the one thing that they're guaranteed to get their hands on, and they're like,
yeah.
But I wonder if we could do better.
Yeah.
And they've never done better. And then one day they suddenly did better. Like, and because it's synthetic, technically, you know, it can only be made in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth does not have the power to do that sort of pressure and whatnot.
Yeah,
this opens up.
Yeah,
this opens up great opportunities for using it as a diamond substitute for efficiency in all kinds of tech.
Researchers from North Carolina State University have discovered a new phase of solid carbon called Q-carbon, which is distinct from known phases of graphite and diamond. They've also developed a technique for using Q-carbon to make diamond-related structures at room temperature and at ambient atmospheric pressure in air. So not even with higher pressures. This is just, I made it on the table over there. You want to try some? You know.
What's that? That's my air diamond.
Air diamonds, yeah. That's beautiful.
What did you have to use for it? I just grabbed
some carbon. Phases are distinct forms of the same material. Graphite is one of the solid phases of carbon. Diamond is another. We've now created a third solid phase of carbon, says Jay Narayan, the John. Please stop with the slinky. Thank you.
Sorry, John, I forgot can hear everything with the microphone.
I can hear everything, and if I can hear everything, so can the audience. So,
sorry, audience, and Andy.
We do have Bill Hunsinger out in the chat room. Hey, Bill, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, I should be on the chat room.
It's
go
okay.
on.
Yep. Yes, he says better than cubic zirconium, and yes, it is. And he misses Mike. Let's see. Q-carbon has some unusual characteristics. For one thing, it is ferromagnetic. So it's magnetic diamond. We didn't even think that was possible, Narayan says. In addition...
We can't figure out what gravity is, but we have magnetized a fucking diamond.
We made magnetic diamonds. In addition, Q-carbon is harder than diamond and glows when exposed to low levels of energy. If this was not at fizz.org, and an actual research thing, I would say that this is it April Fool's? Where is this? Is this out on the Onion? This is ridiculous.
Am I eating crazy pills?
Yeah, like... I mean, this is, it's absurd. It's the best thing that I've read in a long time.
Fucking magnetized diamond. Like, the medical field will never be the same.
I know, yeah. Q-carbon strength and low work function, its willingness to release electrons, make it very promising for developing new electronic display technologies. But Q-carbon can also be used to create a variety of single crystal diamond objects. To understand that, you have to understand the process of creating Q-carbon. Researchers start with a substrate such as sapphire, glass, or plastic polymer. The substrate is then coated with amorphous carbon, elemental carbon that, unlike graphite or diamond, does not have a regular, well-defined crystalline structure. The carbon is then hit with a single laser pulse lasting approximately 200 nanoseconds. During this pulse, the temperature of the carbon is raised to 4,000 Kelvin, or around 3,727 degrees Celsius, and then rapidly cooled. This operation takes place at one atmosphere, the same pressure as the surrounding air. The end result is a film of Q-carbon, and researchers can control the process to make films between 20 nanometers and 500 nanometers thick. By using different substrates and changing the duration of the laser pulse, the researchers can also control how quickly the carbon cools. By changing the rate of cooling, They are able to create diamond structures within the Q-carbon. So they can, like, create a record. Yes. Ophelia is holding up.
We live in the future.
Exactly. This is amazing. This is amazing,
like,
stuff.
Like, I literally understood every bit of the science you just read.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of my brain went, is this fucking real life?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's like, wait, what?
Like, this sounds like something in, like,
This is Star Trek shit. This is totally Star Trek shit. This is the stuff that we would just randomly burble out onto the page and sound scientific for that scene. And all of a sudden, oh yeah, that thing that we just made, yeah, that's real.
Like, it sounds like someone was like, this is plausible in the fact that there's nothing to disprove this in science, but this is made up. And then one dude in the back was like, but we did it. Like, this is, next thing, we're going to find actual organic unicorns, and it's going to be lovely.
Actual unicorns made in the lab at one atmosphere. with nanometer lasers. Yes.
Magnetic unicorns.
Ferroreactive magic unicorns. Yes.
Diamonds grow in their antlers.
Well, antler. The
antler.
The one.
Well, I'm talking about more than one unicorn. They make than one. They come in sheets, just like the Q-carbon.
Oh, the unicorn sheets. Are they like peel and stick or scratch and sniff?
Like peel and stick. You put them out in one atmosphere and they turn into a whole horse goat.
Okay.
I'm like, sure of it.
Like origami?
Science, you heard it. Make it happen. If you can do magnetic diamond film, you can do this for me.
Like origami, but it's a reactive polymer, so you apply electricity to it and it magically folds itself into the unicorn.
And then suddenly it's alive and it smells like a horse and you regret everything because horses smell. It's only a matter of time.
I see. Okay.
Calling it right now. Planet of the Apes is real. So will
in
unicorns.
In other news, Hitachi, who sold their hard drive business to Western Digital, they still make a hard drive line, the HGST, and they have now broken some barriers. They have made a 10 terabyte hard drive. A single drive, 10 terabytes. Functioning like your normal hard drive, not the weird ones that are archival purpose only that end up being slow but can store 8 terabytes by Seagate. No. This is a standard hard drive. It is, however, filled with helium, but it stores 10 terabytes and has like a 5-year warranty. I want them. I want them all.
See, like, this is another one of those things. I absolutely understand everything you said, and it still sounds theoretic, only it's not.
That
is exciting and terrifying at the same time.
They have made it, yes. It's kind of crazy. And the article out on Ars Technica, which is where I found it, indicates some new technology for how they're expecting to make it store even more. In fact, the end line of it here says, both HGST and Seagate are working on HAMR drives. HAMR is heat assisted magnetic recording, which means there's now a laser in your hard drive heating up the platter to make sure that the write happens properly. It's pretty amazing stuff.
This is so cool.
All of that's happening, you know, at absurd speed. They've gone to plaid inside the hard drive. That's really what we're looking at here. So they're both working on that. And though Seagate has been more vocal about it, saying that it could have some HAMR, I'm just going to call it Hammer, some Hammer drives on the market in 2016, HGST with shingled recording and 7 platters at its disposal. There are 7 platters in that 10 terabyte drive. And they're written on both sides. So there's 14 write surfaces in those drives. They should have no problem hitting 15 or 20 terabytes over the next year.
No problem.
It's amazing. So we do have we have Kate now in the chat room. So thank you very much for joining us out there, Kate. And for those folks, I am putting the link to the Ars Technica article so that they can rejoice with us and know what the heck I'm talking about. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. And yes, of course, these are going to be expensive, somewhere around $800 a disc. But as we've seen, that price comes down pretty quickly as technology advances. So those beautiful 6 terabyte drives that I've been drooling over are definitely going to be within my price range come next year. And I like it.
What a beautiful time to be alive.
We live in the future. That's right. However, not everything is beautiful in the future. Florida woman says that moldy breast implants nearly killed her. Moldy breast implants.
Ew. Thanks, Florida woman.
Yeah, this is out on WFTV Channel 9 in Orlando, so it is an actual story. Again, it's not one of those weird joke kind of sites. After 4 years of pain, illness, and weight gain, Anne Zighorn now knows her faulty breast implants were to blame. The woman from Salamar, Florida told WEAR-TV she was misdiagnosed with a painful complication and was nearly convinced she had Alzheimer's. Quote, I felt like that was it. I was gonna die. These doctors were gonna let me die, she says. She eventually visited Dr. Susan Kolb, a plastic surgeon who said Zighorn's saline breast implants were covered with mold and had caused her continuous problems. Kolb explained the defective valves can cause mold to form inside the implants, and the effects are often debilitating. I would like to reiterate that she says defective valves can cause mold to form. As in, this has happened before, I've seen this before, and that the effects are often debilitating, meaning that I've seen it many times, and they're not always debilitating, but sometimes they are.
I find that terrifying.
This is fairly terrifying, yeah. Apparently, Bill, I don't know that it was toxic shock. It might have had many of the same kind of symptoms. But
toxic shock is from bacterial infection.
So this would be a fungus. Yeah. Many different things can happen with funguses, like, complete mind altered states. Shrooms, for instance. I don't know what kind of mushrooms were happened to be growing in her breast. And that's just too much.
It was probably a semi-sentient slime mold.
Oh, nice. Semi-sentient slime molds living in.
Those are the kind that feed off of living tissue and not detritus. The kind that are almost animals, which is why fungus is a weird thing inside.
Funguses are weird. Yeah, they are. They are strange. There is a news article on it with video, but I'm not going to bother playing that.
For the
folks in the chat room, there you go. Go at it. Have a wonderful time. We're moving on.
I will not be helping you with that. Enjoy, chat room people. Enjoy.
In other news, also in Orlando, Skyplex on International Drive has gotten the okay from Orange County to build the world's tallest roller coaster, I believe.
That's
a $500 million complex, and it's going to be home to, where is it? A 450-foot Skyfall drop tower, a 600-foot Skyfly zipline, the Sky Surf Park, and a 350-room hotel. A 501-foot skyscraper roller coaster. That's...
Excuse me?
A 501-foot-tall skyscraper roller coaster.
Why 501?
Probably because the last record was 500. I don't know. I'm just spitballing there. So yeah, so that's fun.
I've got a card for that.
You got a card for that? Oh, the nope card.
Nope. I'm sure it will be fine, but for me, nope.
That sounds fun to me. I like it. I love roller coasters.
501 feet.
Yeah,
God damn it.
That's going to be awesome. 501 feet, yes. let's see. Also, the universe's missing matter may have been found within superheated cosmic web filaments.
That's terrifying.
It's not terrifying. It's just, hey, look, that all that dark matter, we might have found it. This was out on IFL Science, or I fucking love science. Everything you can see around you is composed of ordinary matter. Looking at the remnant radiation of the Big Bang, the cosmic microwave background radiation, the CMBR, scientists have calculated that the matter consists of only 5% of the entire universe. A significant amount of this still eluded direct detection. However, until now, a new paper published in Nature claims to have found this missing component, which has been hiding within a very hot gas along colossal strands of the cosmic web. That's in air quotes, cosmic web. Although much of this ordinary matter, composed of baryons, is detectable by cosmologists, they have repeatedly found that 2.5 of the total 5% is missing from their large-scale estimation calculations. In order to shed some light on this major discrepancy, a research team from the University of Geneva in Switzerland decided to take a look closer at how galaxies are formed. So, yay! Cosmology! Science! Amazing things!
Space things! So cool!
Space things! Far away space things! Let's get to Astamaz! That kind of thing. Good stuff. Let's see. What else? Okay, so yeah, all the combat roles that we talked about that. Let's see. Oh, Epson, makers of fine inkjet and other style printers. They've made an amazing, amazing thing. They have unveiled the world's first in-office paper recycling system.
Go on.
Yes. The specs of the machine are truly impressive. Within 3 minutes of adding waste paper to the paper lab, it starts pumping out perfectly white sheets of new paper. The system can produce around 14 A4, or letter size, sheets of paper per minute, or 6,720 sheets in an 8-hour workday. The paper lab can also produce A3 paper, and you can tweak the thickness and density of the paper as well. If you want really thin white paper, that's cool. If you want thicker white paper for business cards, you can do that too. Epson says that the paper lab is the world's first paper production system that uses a dry process. Paper making processes usually require a lot of water, but the paper lab requires only a thin amount of water to maintain a certain level of humidity inside the system. So it doesn't need to be plumbed into the mains. Presumably there's a small tank of water that needs to be filled occasionally, hopefully with normal tap water, not the $50 per liter Epson purified printer XL water, which apparently is a thing and exists.
I didn't see that. This is world changing technology.
That's major. Yeah. Especially given I've been in the Fortune 100 company circuit here for over a decade, and the paperless office, the dream of the paperless office, has created an awful lot more paper.
Yes.
It's amazing how much more paper is actually in a paperless office. It's ridiculous. So the fact that all of these shred companies, like Shred-It and that's the only one that's coming to mind right now. when they come to your office and they'll go ahead and shred all those documents. Well, now you never ever have to get rid of all of that personally identifiable information or the HIPAA compliance stuff. You just put it in the paper lab and suddenly you get new paper.
It's amazing for recycling. It's amazing for privacy.
Yeah.
This is
huge. It is truly huge.
A really big deal.
So I expect to see some of these in the basements of finer establishments all over the place. Really, it's not even that big. In fact, I'll go ahead and put the link out in the chat. There you go. It is, let's see, I think there might be some measurements here. No, not really. It looks like it would go through a mostly normal 36-inch wide door. Maybe not. But it is about as long as maybe a galley kitchen. So it's a large instrument for what it's doing. But
look at what it's doing. It's not requiring a factory.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I can't even pretend to know how it's working. Because
and the other thing is, it's very big right now, but so are 3D printers, and so are computers.
Yeah.
And soon, it will be small enough that, like, a dentist's office could have it.
An Ars Commenter found an Epson patent published in 2013 that describes one method of mechanically, quote, crushing and defibrillating paper, end quote, and then using a cyclone of air to de-ink the crushed paper bits.
What that is so exciting.
That's like, what? That's ridiculous. Hey, Bill, I still see copiers that big. They still make them. Xerox makes some, like, room-sized copiers that are ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, this thing is, this is amazing. So I hope that, I hope we see a lot of these out there. There's so many business cases for it. So many business cases.
There's so much. Yeah. And a few of these and a few government buildings security leaks will start to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, physically disappear and turn into the paper that they're going to print out your fines on. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So efficient.
All the heavy stuff goes in and little onion skin carbon copies come out.
You know?
Yeah. It's pretty much the most amazing thing that I've seen in a long time. Well, I say that next to the 10 terabyte helium filled hard drives and the new Q carbon, diamonds. You know, there's some
science is kicking ass.
There's some good stuff out there. There really is. Let's see. Is there anything
else? But this does have a faster practical application than the other sciencey things you have mentioned so far.
Yeah. This has real world practical implications right now. And that's amazing.
It's so cool.
A company has also started building prefab hobbit houses in 3 days that you can actually live in.
Need it.
You need
those?
That's
all I gotta say. I just want a hobbit house.
They're alluring. They're really super alluring. Again, I'll paste that out in the chat. There you go. So basically, they are hobbit houses. They really are. But instead of just having the round hobbit door, they are more of an arch with a wide open window setting. But they're still domed in earth. They're pretty slick, though. You'd have to know exactly where you live, though, because you're not exactly going to see your house on rolling hills, quite as well. If you scroll down through the article, in fact, I should probably screen share really, because this is one of those times. Let's see. It's like I threatened that I was going to do it. Let's see. Screen share. That one. There we go. Okay. So you should now see There we go. A beautiful setting, long, winding road, surrounded by little hobbit houses that are mostly buried, kind of. Architecturally.
In the right way.
Yeah. They're obviously, you need to go out to the YouTube and see what we're talking about here. YouTube.com/O'Reilly Radio, O-R-L-Y-R-A-D-I-O. And this is episode 85. You'll see what we're talking about here. That prefab structure looks rather resilient.
It has like a cute hippie hobbit version of a bomb shelter thing going on.
Yeah, this is the bomb shelter that you'd want to live in.
I'm looking at their official website.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where you live, they will cover it in like sand dunes for desert stuff, so you could definitely pretend like you're a Skywalker.
Oh, nice. Living on Tatooine.
Like
Extra Sun sold separately.
Like, I'm looking through their portfolio and things, and they will literally alter it to whatever terrain you need for your property. And some of them are pretty decent sized, and the article that you shared, you know, shows them as, like, little duplexes.
Yeah.
But their desert homes look like something out of a fantasy. They do snow homes for those in cold weather. If you've got a very cold climate, they've got that.
Available out at greenmagichomes.com. Green Magic Homes, all one word. Yeah, this is pretty sweet. So I don't see any reason why this could not be the house of the future.
And then think about, like, the home decor possibilities. Like, your garden is your roof.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm looking at some of their floor plans. Some of these can be pretty big if you can afford them.
Yeah, I'm seeing some large, and they're modular. So basically, it's a snap together. How big would you like it? It just keeps getting bigger.
You could, I mean, some of these, I'm looking at some of their floor plans. It's truly lovely.
I realized I was not actually presenting to everyone, only while I was talking. So now you can see a little bit more of what I'm talking about here with the prefab structure being coated over. And here you can see, my mouse is barely visible, but it's just one section after another, and they all kind of connect together like Legos. They're kind of like little T's. They would just snap, snap, snap. Clip together. Amazing. I want one. That's all there is to it. I want one. So Green Magic Homes.
Think about how great it would be to do a hippie commune this way. Like, yeah. Everybody gets a little one, and then you have a hallway that's, you know, under the begonias.
Actually, yeah, I just imagine the sub-basement, because really that's what this is all about. This is just what's on the surface. You'd have a basement that connects to everywhere else. Down in the steam tunnels. Or whatever.
Oh my goodness. This is like, I don't have like a nostalgia card, but this is the opposite of living in the future. This is living in the fantasy world of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
I like it. I like it. That's all there is to it. Let's see. Is there anything else? Okay. There's one more. One more sciencey thing. Holometer rules out the first theory of space-time correlations. I think there's something there to unpack. The extremely sensitive quantum space-time measuring tool will serve as a template for scientific exploration in years to come. There has never been anything like the holometer. Based on the U.S. Department of Energy's Fermi Labs in Illinois, the holometer isn't much to look at. It's a small array of lasers and mirrors with a trailer for a control room. But the low-tech look of the device belies the fact that it is unprecedentedly sensitive instrument, able to measure movements that last only a millionth of a second and distances that are a billionth of a meter, 1,000 times smaller than a single proton. Jeez.
Wow.
That's really small. Our common sense and the laws of physics assume that space and time are continuous. The holometer challenges this assumption. We know that energy on the atomic level, for instance, is not continuous and comes in small indivisible amounts. The holometer was built to test if space and time behave the same way. So, yeah, this is picking apart the universe.
Damn.
This is truly picking apart the universe.
I have nothing else to say. Damn.
Yeah.
You use that grant money.
Yeah. That as Bill indicates, that's approaching Planck length. And yes, that's one of those, terms of measurement that you only hear that you never hear, really. That's just not something that you're going to be familiar with unless you have really delved into physics, and specifically the physics of the very, 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 very infinitesimally small.
Microphysics is an amazing thing.
Yeah. It does not work like macrophysics. Up on our level, things are fairly solid. Well, as soon as you start to keep going down and down and down, things are filled with holes, and we just kind of get into quantum foam, and we're not there anymore. It's gone.
Microphysics is so cool.
Yes. It's crazy. Science. It's crazy amazing. So that was all the good stuff that I really had to talk about. Not a whole lot of other, wait. Correct that. There is one other that I managed to dig up. So we'll get all the good stuff out here immediately. That way we know that there's still hope as we take you through the rest. A website called Course Buffet serves up a free DIY degree in computer science or management. So you can just kind of build it yourself. And it's essentially free. So Course Buffet, CourseBuffet.com. Go take a look. If you're of an inquiring mind and you want to stretch your brain and possibly get a degree out of it that you might be able to put on some resume and actually get a better job and whatever, why not? There's featured courses in computer science, biology, history, management, mechanical engineering, psychology, public health, and, oh God, lots of others. They've got animal science, art and design, business, communications, computers and technology, economics, education, engineering, English lit, health and nutrition, history, humanities, other languages, including Chinese, French, German, and Spanish, life sciences, math and statistics, science, and social sciences. So if you're looking for it, you're probably going to find something interesting out there.
And it's free.
And it looks to be free. There might be a catch. There's probably a catch. This would be in the MOOC range, the massive online open source classes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. I'm sure that I've butchered the acronym, but that's essentially what it is. But this is essentially a whole university kind of thing. So all the courses in one place. We find and organize free college courses from over 17 platforms and 200 plus universities, enabling you to search them in one spot. No more sorting through random videos and incomplete courses. Make your learning buffet today with awesome courses from top universities. Individually examined and classified, we examine every single course and classify it using the Course Buffet classification system. We show you the approximate level of course would be at a traditional university and which courses are roughly equivalent. This allows you to easily compare courses and know which order to take them in. And they've got it all indexed and searched. So it's, and searchable. So it's a pretty neat.
If anybody goes and tries it, let us know how it goes.
And Bill is saying linky, please. And I will put that out there in the chat. There you go. It is coursebuffet.com. So good stuff there. Unless you were talking about the holometer, in which case I can give you a link to that too. There you go. Okay. All right. So I think at this moment in time, I would like to thank one of our friends and sponsors. So I'll get to that, and then we'll get into some more of the ugly side.
Are you annoyed by misinformation spreading like crazy, and you want to stop the flood of nonsense coming from all directions? Go to Wikipedia, as do all those millions out there. Did you know there's an edit button on all Wikipedia articles? Why don't you go and hit that button to start making the world's largest online encyclopedia a more reliable source of information? If you're specifically interested in skeptical topics, come and join us at Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, an international endeavor to change the world for the better, word by word. There are many ways you can contribute. You just need to start. You speak several languages, all the more reason to join us. We provide training and all the help you need. If you want to make a change, there's a nice community waiting for you out there. Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com, visit our website, that's gorillaskeptics.com, or check out the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia Facebook page.
Hi, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is your host, Andy Cowan, calling my voicemail to make sure that it still works. Please consider calling us, 470-222-6759. Bye.
Figured I'd give you the warning shot that things are going to take a turn for the douche here. Donald Trump on Thursday told a room full of influential Jewish Republicans that he and they have a lot in common. He says, "Look, I'm a negotiator like you folks," the GOP frontrunner said during his remarks to the Republican Jewish Coalition Forum in Washington, D.C. "Look, we're negotiators," he says. Later, the Donald returned to his awkward "Jews are shrewd business people" le motif in "Is there anyone in this room who doesn't negotiate deals?" he said. "Probably more than any room I've ever spoken in."
Oh, my God.
During his rambling remarks, the real estate mogul also repeatedly conceded that he didn't expect to win over the group. Quote, "I don't want your money, so therefore you're probably not going to support me," he told the room, adding, "You want to control your own politician." Just indicating completely how absolutely batshit crazy the entire political system is.
Trump is a Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. I full on just,
this goes back to when something is so awful, it becomes absurd, yeah, and you cannot help but laugh at it.
Yeah. That he is the front runner. Mind blown. Over and over and over again, my mind is blown by that fact. I don't get it. How? Is it because he's just that crazy that he has that spark of charisma that he just overshadows everybody else in the room? Or is he really the least bad out of the other ones?
He's not the least bad, but he is the most rich. And when you're a Republican,
yeah,
that's what matters.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is, I would say, top three as far as evil people in power that I can think of that are American citizens goes. But he can throw money at things. I mean, he threatened, unless he gets paid $5 million, he won't do the next debate.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. I have that story as well. CNN's president had some very choice words for Trump's attempt to extort $5 million. Let's see. "When dealing with someone who is certifiably narcissistic like Donald Trump, in order to get a point across to him, you can't mince words. You need to be direct, concise, and firm. Even then, you'll likely still be called a bully or an idiot by the real estate mogul, who apparently learned his social skills from an elementary school detention hall, but at least you told it like it is, which is what you need to do with children who misbehave. Otherwise, they'll never understand." So, knowing this is how you need to approach the Republican frontrunner, CNN's president Jeff Zucker was very direct in his response to Trump's latest scheme, or rather temper tantrum. You see, Trump got his underoos in a bunch over CNN's coverage of him, which, in all honesty, is in abundance, so he should really keep his mouth shut. However, not liking some of the things CNN was saying, he told the crowd in Macon, Georgia, quote, "How about I tell CNN, who doesn't treat me properly, I'm not going to do the next debate, okay? I won't do the debate unless they pay me $5 million, all of which goes to wounded warriors or goes to vets." He does realize Wounded Warriors is a veterans group, right?
No, he doesn't. Well, he doesn't understand the world.
Yeah, probably not. Well, CNN wasn't about to let him try to extort them without saying something in response. Zucker responded to Trump's demands with a firm no, adding, "We do not pay candidates to appear at debates." In reference to CNN giving preferential treatment to Trump coverage, or in any way purposefully trying to tear him down, Zucker told BuzzFeed, quote, "I don't think it's our role to take a point of view. It's our role to report what he does. It's not our role to build up a campaign or take down a campaign. It's our role to be skeptical. Holy crap, an actual journalistic integrity statement.
Dun, 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 dun.
And from CNN.
It still exists.
It's what? The Ted Turner cable news network? Amazing. So, hey, maybe, as Bill Hunziker succinctly points out, bullshit. Thank you, Bill. Keeping us grounded. Keep us honest. but it's, hey, at least the thought's out there. You know, it's an A for effort. A for effort.
Well, the thing is, what they're basically saying is, if we sound like we're saying bad shit about you, maybe it's just because there's no good shit to say about you.
I like to look at it in a nice, pleasant way, which is, you can't detract from someone when all you're doing is quoting what they said.
Yeah.
And not really editorializing at all. All you're doing is reporting, Donald Trump said this.
Today in What the Fuck Donald Trump.
Pretty much. He's sinking himself, and he's blaming other people for the things that he's saying himself. It's amazing. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Everything that he does lately is ridiculous. In fact, his entire life is ridiculous.
My roommate actually pointed out something.
Yes?
About Donald Trump in the last few days we were talking. He's worth something like $2.5 billion, right?
Like that's. I think. Well, that depends. Is that liquid assets or things that he has tied up in things? Because because
he's
technically, it was reported
somewhere that he's worth like, you know, $5 billion or less, right? Which is still a whole bunch of money.
I think he's worth maybe more than that. I'm not sure. Let me see. I have the Google. I can look it up. I'm sure that this. Yeah. I didn't even have to finish the typing. It's not typing. It had it right there. He is apparently worth $4
billion. Okay, he's worth $4 billion. That we'll sounds go with about that. Right.
Yeah.
He was, when his father died and gave him all the Trumpy things.
Yeah, I think he got $200 million, I think, from his father's death.
He was in charge of something around $8 billion. And all his company is worth now is half of that. So even when it comes to being enormously rich, he has halved what was literally handed to him.
Hmm.
Because he's not a decision-making guy. He doesn't do good on the thinking. And this is a guy who wants to run a country in debt. Like, yeah. For me, even if you liked his fuckwad antics, at the end of the day, he was given, figuratively, all the money in the world and found a way to sink so many companies that he was in charge of that he has half of it now.
Well, he still says, very publicly, because that's the way that Donald operates, that he's worth $10 billion. The number $4 billion, or $4.5 billion, came from Forbes, basically doing a tighter analysis on what his actual net worth was.
Well, it's not like he's ever going to be honest about anything.
No. And really, when you get past the million mark, it gets a little fuzzy as to where it all is. You know, so, especially if you're smart about it in any way, shape, or form, and people with that many zeros after their name usually have smart people working for them. They don't have to be smart. They just have to make one good decision in hiring that one guy. So I would have to assume. I hate assuming things, but I have to assume that Donald Trump has many people under him that he can go to delegate things, because there sure as hell ain't any reason for him to get his hands dirty in anything. The only reason he shows up is for a camera photo op. That's it. So,
Yeah, and Mr. Hunsinger out in the chat room says, somebody said that if he just invested the money he inherited in bonds, he would be worth $10 billion
now. Yeah.
If that's all he did. And yeah, so he has made some poor decisions. And he was in real estate, and he is still in real estate. So real estate, well, there was this whole bubble thing that, you know, bad things happened. He was part of it. So he lost a lot of money. He made money. He lost more money. He made money. Back and forth, back and forth. He's in the business to just be in the business, I think. Now, other weird things. Now, you might remember, going back into the Wayback Machine, a particular televangelist named Jim Baker. That's Baker with two Ks. B-A-K-K-E-R.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. He went to jail for a while because he was a fraud and was fleecing his people. Well, he's back now, out of jail, and he apparently has not learned his lesson because he's out there doing it again. But this time, he is selling buckets of food. Prepper-style buckets of food. For the apocalypse.
The apocalypse, eh? I've survived four of those this year, according to Christian people. I don't know if I need his food.
No, you probably don't.
Sam's Club is doing just fine for me.
Well, he's also not doing it at wholesale. He's like buying it at retail and then marking it up 200% and then selling you that.
Of course he is.
Because it's really expensive whole grain that you then would have to have some crazy food processors and mills to ever use in the first place.
It's for the rich apocalyptic silo people, since we know there are so many of those out there.
There are a surprising number of them out there. They're mostly Mormon. But yeah, there are a surprising number out there, but they're not his people. They're just not. His giant buckets of food. An 8-year supply of food for the low, low price of $2,500.
Buying it?
If they weren't buying it, he wouldn't be selling it. You know, he has a website, jimbakershow.com. Tasty new foods offer 7 years of food for you now. Call 800-988-1588. Don't ever call that unless you're there to troll them. Just don't do it. But yeah, $3,500 plus shipping. So he's not even throwing in shipping on these giant tubs of food.
Couldn't I get a giant tub of food from Amazon Prime and not have to pay shipping?
Yeah, you probably could. Yeah, but now let's listen to what he has to say, because I can't possibly do a televangelist justice.
One second after tells us all hell breaks loose.
It's a book.
When the world comes apart. If you have food and the gangs know it, they will come for it. Okay. Other people, your neighbors, your sweet, sweet neighbors, don't tell them you got food unless they're part of the team that's your little group of people that you trust. As long as they're being fed, they probably won't turn on you. But, you know, the Bible says they're going to eat their arms. The Bible says they're going to eat their babies. Then it says they're going to eat their children.
Aren't babies children?
That's what people do when they get hungry. So Jim Baker is really cool because he's telling you to store food. If the Social Security checks don't come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's going right after the seniors.
Oh, my God. Seniors are going to eat your babies.
Yes.
I'm not talking about atomic bombs. I'm not talking about tornadoes. I'm not talking about tsunamis. I'm talking about the government's already broke. How come you have more trust in the even our money setting God we trust, but the government doesn't mean that anymore. That's probably against the law to say that in our country.
What?
But how can we trust a country that's broke?
Just witness the pacing
that has
going
the
through.
Right for a separate entity to print money that's worthless.
We'll just sprinkle it with just enough facts.
As valuable as the paper that it's printed on. Maybe not even that valuable. What do we do?
It's fiat currency. You don't actually understand the economics. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, and that's the point of your ministry. That's one of the major points I make in my book is that, look, when it all falls apart like that, then it comes down to basic survival.
So these buckets, if nothing happens, but then
here's the buckets.
The government goes broke, and we already are. It's not a fool. The Bible says a fool doesn't prepare.
Exactly.
Yet preachers are telling them that they're foolish if they store up.
No, you're a fool.
There's preachers literally saying, don't do what Jim Baker's saying.
That's because you're a fraud.
I don't want that blood on my hands.
Yeah. I don't want that blood on my
hands. When you're huddled in a corner with your grandbaby and they're screaming and crying and there's no food, I don't want that blood on my hands, preacher.
That's right.
When you're huddled in a corner with your screaming grandbaby.
And then
starving.
You just decide to nibble on it.
Num, num, num.
Because the government.
Because the government cheese did not arrive, so I have to eat my grandbaby.
I'm sorry. There are people telling you not to buy my thing. Yes, there are. I am one of these people.
Wow.
Please stop. Please, no more.
It's amazing.
I don't know about you, but I'm sold.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I need it.
I don't want to eat my grandbabies. That's obviously something that I need to
I don't want
about.
Anyone to eat my children,
nope.
My hypothetical children.
Nope,
I've got to do this just in case for doomsday.
My cute little children are more than likely, they would grab knives and they would be the Lord of the Flies children and you'd have to worry about them. You know, the other, you know, that's not how it's going to work, people. not in this house.
I'm so confused as to where he thought that, like, what?
Amazingly enough, he did have Tammy Faye sitting next to him, but she definitely toned down the eye makeup from the last time that we really witnessed her bawling her eyes out and almost speaking in tongues next to him.
Why are they relevant?
Why are they still relevant? Why is anyone listening to an affirmed fraud? Why is he allowed to have a ministry?
I lost it when he was like, other ministers are telling you not to buy it and they're wrong. Really? Because you just got out of prison. Like, you just got out of actual motherfucking prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah. And thankfully, since he has this website and his show, he's basically just continuing to feed us this fantastic lines of drivel. He apparently blames his downfall on witches conspiring against him, by the way.
Wait.
Yeah.
Witches. Good old witch defense.
Yeah.
The witches.
Would you like to hear?
I absolutely would love to hear about the witches.
A very well-known man of God. After I got out of prison, came to me.
Go right for it.
And he said, Jim, before you came down, as they call it,
mm-hmm.
They said he was flying on an airplane. And he sat next to this woman. And they got to talking, what do you do? And he said, what are you doing? She said, I'm a witch. I mean, that's insane. But she was proud of it. And he said, well, what do you do? Well, she said, right now, all the witches, what is it, coven or something?
Oy.
They're all agreeing they're going to destroy the television ministries. And we're starting with Jim Baker. And we are all praying. Praying to destroy him. Could you believe that, Rick?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hear me out.
Okay, all right.
We're going to start with...
Yeah, unpack this for us.
Pause for laughs. All right.
Oh, okay.
I've known many a witch in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of them that get together in group chat and want to talk about Baker.
It's the real Baker Act, right?
I feel like witches have better things to do, like live normal lives. Secondly, the people who are praying for him to stop are probably his former ministry members who were hustled. It's not witches, it's his victims. Then, the nonchalant blah blah blah, oh yeah, I was in prison, no big deal. Like, you're not Muhammad, bitch. Like, shut up. No one is going to believe. Who told you that this was a thing?
The witch on the airplane, was that what it was? I don't...
It was an airplane witch, and she said that all the covens are getting together.
The airplane witch told us everything.
The airplane witch was like, going after your friend.
She divulged it.
Going after... I know this because I was a witch. Like... What? Okay, here's the deal. If there's anybody out here who's listening who is a witch... I'm laughing because Andy's laughing. I know that different kinds of witchcraft and Wicca are valid religions, and you make a lot more sense than a lot of other people.
Certainly.
However, if the witch on the airplane could reach out to O'Reilly Radio for an interview, I have questions.
That's O'ReillyRadioPodcast@gmail.com. Give us a call, 470-222-ORLY or 6759. If you don't want to have your voice, go ahead and text it. Come on, bring it on.
We'll have a chat room. It'll be great. You can be like Airplane Witch 666.
Sure.
Whatever it is that you need. Now, my other thing is, if you are a witch and you're not praying for Baker to stop, Stark, you are way behind. And for everyone who has been praying for him to stop, who isn't a witch, you might want to think about converting. There is apparently a great network out there for your plight.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. Wow. Okay, that's great. Kate in the chat room says, am I the only one that has mental images of witches dive bombing Baker's home on brooms?
They're witches, they're not eagles.
If you were the only one, you aren't anymore. So there you go, because you've planted the idea in my head, and that's gonna haunt me for a while.
Kate, they're not eagles. They're airplane witches. It's
Flight
different.
Of the Valkyries.
Oh my God! Is this more proof that that the religious right is completely off their rocker?
Yes, off the rocker and selling jugs of food to
buckets
to the poor
buckets,
and infirm.
Andy, be reasonable.
Buckets. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, they're hermetically sealed. In pyramid buckets.
Oh my God, that's just some Illuminati bullshit. Like, oh no. This is why people don't take Christians seriously. All real Christians, be anger at him. Pray to your God that his buckets turn into monsters and smite him. Pray to your God so the witches don't have to.
You know, I don't think I would have any problem. As long as, you know, with religions as a whole, as long as the religions cleaned up after themselves, you know, because, okay, you got the crazy Muslim terrorists, you've got the crazy Christian terrorists, you know, attacking Planned Parenthood and Lord knows what else. And then you've got people like Mr. Baker. Pastor Baker. Reverend Baker. Whatever Reverend the hell Baker. He's calling himself now. Doing this. Again. Can we please stop feeding the trolls? Can you take care of your own? I have no power here.
Dear Christian God, that guy, work on it. Thank you. This is another one of those moments where, like, it's absurd. And he's like, working so hard to sell his own bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I applaud him for his level of, like, fuckery right now. Because are you kidding me? Like, blah, 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 blah. A friend of mine met an airport witch, and she was mad that I was out of prison. So she went, and then also the elderly are going to take your children and eat them. Because in my version of the Bible, this is a thing.
Because the Social Security checks stopped coming. So obviously they have to do this.
I've read me a few Bibles, and I don't remember anywhere it being like, and then the elderly will be mad that government assistance doth stop. And then they shall feast upon the infants. Like,
I don't remember that. I don't remember that verse. Yeah. Now, one thing that that is obviously false, it has to be false, because if the version of witches that Jim Baker obviously believes in, which would be the same that Kate believes in, the ones flying on brooms, why would she be on an airplane?
Asking the hard question.
I mean, this is a hard question right there. That is completely false. I have just destroyed your argument, sir. Your your buckets of food are invalid. You may sell crazy somewhere else. We're full up here.
I just... Between him and Ted Nugent, like, can you fucking not? Can we take a weekend off? Can we stop with the crazy for like 72 hours? My birthday is coming up. 10 days till my birthday. Here's the deal. All I want from you, religious zealots of the Christian persuasion, is to shut up for 12 hours.
I would like to say, yes, absolutely, of course we could arrange that. However, there is a problem. And that is that pretty much every day in this country, there's mass shooting.
Yeah.
And it's a pattern of violence. Whoever perpetrates it is almost irrelevant at this point because it's innocent people being shot by people with guns. Because that's how you shoot people. You do it with a gun. It's very difficult to discuss. It's difficult to talk about because, well, A, no one wants to talk about it, so we don't have any experience doing it, for one. The NRA has consistently poured money at every Republican available, and many Democrats too, to silence them and get them on their side, in their pocket. I think it was $8 million last year. In contributions, an enterprising fellow out on Twitter, at Igor Vlosky, IGORVOLSKY on Twitter. He went through and he tweeted the apologetic that, you know, the Republican said. And how much money they got from the NRA after the latest San Bernardino shooting. The top 10 recipients of money from pro-gun groups in 2016. Ben Carson at $37,000. Ted Cruz at $36,000. Rand Paul, $29,000. John Boehner at $19,000. Richard Burr, who sounds like he should have shot Lincoln or somebody, 12,000. Kevin McCarthy, who
would be Alexander Hamilton. Go on.
Still, yes. I was thinking Aaron Burr. Kevin McCarthy, 11,000. Rob Portman, 11,000. Ryan Zinsky, 11,000. Scott Walker, 11,000. Carly Fiorina, 10,000. That's an awful lot of money to these folks to just buy votes, to buy allegiances. Now, sure, yeah. 10,000 in the grand scheme of politics, that's not a lot, you know, but to average citizens, I'm not allowed to give them that much money.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do it. Even if I wanted to, even if I had all that money at my disposal, I would have to channel it through different groups to do it. And that's what's happened here. And a lot of that's NRA money. But Igor, he's made a lot of friends. He now has 69,000 followers. 69,000 followers. And he went through and just nailed them over and over and over. Senator David Perdue got $279,000 from NRA, voted to keep FBI from stopping them. Just over and over and over. And he's just repeating information that he got from the Sunlight Foundation. But it's things like this that just expose what we're not supposed to know is happening.
Well, you know, it's also illegal for anybody who gets government funding to research gun violence. And on the day of the San Bernardino shooting, or the Planned Parenthood one, I don't know, so many people are getting shot. They're all running together. Mm-hmm. A bill was brought up to Congress to lift it, to see why it's happening so much this year. And even though there was a massacre a couple of hours later, it was still pushed aside.
Now, repeat that. What are you talking about?
Okay, there was a bill by some scientists, because, you know, scientists cannot they cannot legally, no American group can legally research gun violence if they get government money.
How is that?
I wish Michael had been here today. He was yelling about it in the car yesterday or the day before.
Bill's affirming what you said, since about 1985, he believes.
Yeah, it is illegal. You are not allowed to research gun violence if you get government money. The government forbids it. You are not allowed to say anything negative about the NRA if you get government money. And a group of scientists were lobbying, look, there's a lot going on here. We'd like to start next year to figure out so we can stop this. And then a massacre happened in the same day. And the Republicans still got rid of it.
Okay. If anybody out there would be kind enough to send me exactly what that is, I would like to dig deeper on it. We have such a obtuse system that finding any particular legislation like that, somebody knows, I don't, and finding it's going to be a needle in a haystack kind of thing for me. So, I have another article here from Politica USA, which was also basically quoting Politico. Senate Republicans voted today to block a measure that would have prevented individuals on the terror watch list from legally buying guns in the United States. The first gun control measure proposed by Democrats was legislation from Senator Dianne Feinstein out of California that would deny people on a federal terrorism watch list the ability to purchase guns. The measure failed, 45-54. Senator Heidi Hetklamp, Democrat, North Dakota, voted with Republicans to reject the measure, and Senator Mark Kirk, Republican, Illinois, crossed over to vote in favor of the gun restrictions. The second vote revived legislation from April 2013, written in the aftermath of the shooting deaths of 20 elementary schools, you know, Newtown, Connecticut, with bipartisan backing, that would enact universal background checks. The four Republicans who backed the bill, then Kirk and Susan Collins of Maine, John McCain of Arizona, and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, who co-authored the measure with Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia, also voted in favor of the Democrats' plan on Thursday. Heitkamp also opposed the second gun control measure, which was blocked on a 48-50 tally. Senate Republicans have now laughably put themselves on record as supporting the right of suspected terrorists to legally buy guns in the United States. That is essentially what you could read into this. I'm sure that there are other things in the legislation that they would be more than willing to point to that would be, you know, some pork fat or whatever, you know, some excuse that they can point to. But that that it is legal at all to be on a terrorism watch list and still buy a gun seems to be a problem.
That's the thing that gets me, is that that's not an automatic thing.
You would have thought that that would have been an automatic thing. Now, I'm sure, again, if we want to go ahead and rationalize things for them, you know, jump to these conclusions, I'm sure that, well, they're just on a watch list. They don't necessarily know that they're on a watch list. So we want them to go about their daily lives so that we can watch them go about their daily lives and know what they're doing. That does make some bit of sense.
It's a good way to hide that you're spying on someone.
Right. You just let them carry on about their business and watch them like a hawk. But in practice, I don't think that that's actually working the way they'd like it to work.
Well, the other thing to think about is the people on terrorism watch lists are less frequently the people killing everybody.
That does seem to be a problem that we have, but and you know, I think that we should probably get some scientists on that.
But oh man, seems too bad it's illegal.
Seems that that's a problem too. And this would be the gallows humor that has to come out, because that, you know, it's so absurd, it's funny. It has to be funny.
We have to laugh about it or cry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and I shed tears for no Republican.
It's so ugly. This is, it's just ridiculous. You know, even people that are staunchly, you know, Second Amendment, you know, pro gun, you know, shoot everything, blah, blah, blah. Even they are starting to realize, you know, maybe there's a problem. You know, as people like Geraldo Rivera say that the Second Amendment is bullshit, you know, right along those lines, things that you don't expect to hear out of these people, you know, eventually, as was indicated in the note that I had read earlier from my friend, seeking an inoculation to the stupidity virus from Fox, they're reaching that point where it's touching them physically. It's touching them directly. It's impacting their lives in ways that are unforeseen to them. So they are then faced with their own little trolley dilemma. You know, and for those of you that aren't familiar with the trolley problem, you have a lever. It's a thought experiment, but you have to kill somebody. You have a lever, and if you switch the lever, the trolley will run off onto a siding and kill one person. But if you do not do anything with the lever, the trolley will careen into five people. So, do you act and purposely kill one person, but save five others? Or, through your own inaction, let those five people die. Now, most people, rational people, analytic people, would say, well, I'm gonna pull the lever because, you know, the good of the many outweighs the good of the one. That kind of cold calculus. And then you take it a step further and you give all the people names and faces, and it's like, these are the people that you're going to kill, this is the person, you know, and then it becomes personal. It is no longer a rational thing for the human brain to do, because we see people. You know, okay, you don't know the five people, but you do know that one guy. You know, it's Bob from accounting. He's right there. And you know everything about Bob. You know that he has a wife of 11 years and he has three children, you know, and you know, an ailing grandmother that he takes care of every day. You know, he brings soup or whatever. You know, he's a nice guy. Are you going to kill that nice guy in favor of the anonymous four or five people? It becomes a real ethical dilemma. And that's why it's the trolley problem. So you have now been introduced to that. Congratulations. You have now been educated if you didn't know it already. So as these problems, these ethical dilemmas start to encroach upon people's real lives and those nameless statistics start to get faces, decisions change. So perhaps that's the thing. Perhaps I've come up with something that might help my friend and his inoculation. Perhaps for every one of these tragedy cases, we don't just put a name on some plaque somewhere, but we go ahead and paste a whole dossier. You know, you've got the face, family pictures, vacation photos. You know, you make the person as real as possible. You turn it into a life, not a number. Perhaps that's the only thing that will really inoculate people to doing harm to other people.
Well, it reminds me a couple of years back of what had to have been my favorite open letter that any one organization has published to put another one on notice. And it was the Ku Klux Klan, the face of evil in this country for 200 years, wrote a note, an open letter, to the Westboro Baptist Church telling them to calm the fuck down.
Yeah. You're giving us a bad name. You're making
us look bad. Yeah. You're making us look bad.
Yeah.
That every
you're making the Klan look bad. Wow.
Every gun nut bigot who is not inclined to murder, they're just a gun nut who also happens to hate black people, queers, and women, is beginning to look worse because people who identify with those things are also supporting massacres. And when you start to alienate your demographic by proving that a portion of that demographic is dangerous, you begin to hurt yourself. So all of these people who I wouldn't want to be around in the first place, just because we would have nothing positive to talk about. hold on one second.
Well, she has a ringy dingy that she has to go address. Maybe just find in silence. Did you find the thing? Is it still going off?
It's dead now.
Anyway, okay, there we go.
What I was saying is, when you start to label an entire demographic because you have proof as dangerous, the people who sign your paychecks, the people who buy your product, when it turns out that a big chunk of them that have all this in common has one thing not in common with these guys, these murderer guys, and you're defending the murderer guys, that makes everybody else who's just a douchebag look like they're potentially a murderer guy. And when you're turning your own team against you, you become impotent in your cause.
Yeah.
Which is what I was saying earlier. The best way to stop them is to render them impotent. And at this point, they are rendering themselves impotent by alienating the very people who give them their lifeblood for the sake of assuming that every person who does something horrible because of them is just an isolated case.
Yeah. The serpent cannot strike out as it's eating its own tail.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, they've definitely been eating themselves lately. You know, maybe they need some of Jim Baker's, pails of cream of wheat or whatever it is. So they cease eating.
Buckets of food.
Yeah, the buckets of food. So they cease eating their own babies. Yeah, maybe that'd be a good idea. But alas, I think that we should probably wrap this up. It has been a laugh riot, honestly. Some of it gallows humor, some of it genuinely funny. The line has blurred really, between what is gallows humor and what is genuinely funny, especially in this episode. But thank you. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. It's been real. It's been fun. I dare say it's even been real fun. So let's see. I have show notes around here somewhere because I have to have my outro. I have to have my script. I seem to have lost my script. I've lost my script.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is tragic. No, it's not really tragic. okay. I'm going to do it. I'm feeling off right now. Off my rocker. Great show. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Laugh or cry. Yes. All of those things. It's been real. It's definitely been a show. And with that, okay, there we go. That's it for us tonight. We'll be back next Friday about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, barring any technical difficulties. In the meantime, the conversation continues on the web. Head over to orrellyradio.com. That's O-R-L-Y radio.com for all the links right at the top of the page. And do watch us live and chat in the IRC like we've had Bill Hunsiger and Kate, anonymous Kate out there. Thank you very much for being there. Follow the links. No, I already said that. Okay. If you've liked what we've done here, you can help keep the lights on. You can follow the Help Us link on the webpage. That'll help. That will take you over to patreon.com/Cowen, C-O-W-E-N, E-E. I can't even spell my own name. I'm so tongue-tied. This whole thing. Anyway, follow the Help Us links, patreon.com, Cowen, C-O-W-E-N. If that's too rich for you, no problem. Understand. Contribute to the show with topic ideas, corrections, advertising offers, unclaimed lottery tickets, hate mail, unsolicited advice, whatever. Email them over to us at orrellyradiopodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 470-222-6759. We also take text messages there, too. Also, post and vote on stories on our subreddit. Leave a glowing review on whatever platform you found us on. And, of course, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, Google+, and subscribe to the YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. We can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. Until next time, this has been Orrelly Radio, part of the Cowen Services Network. Music for the show was created by Kevin McLeod of incomptech.com. Thanks, everybody. Toodles.
Bye-bye.